invite you to turn back to the passage that we read just earlier on, Daniel chapter 10. We've entitled our message this morning, A Rewarding View. Just let's seek the Lord, please. We need help as we come to the preaching of God's precious word. Heavenly Father, we thank the Lord for thy nearness. We thank the Lord for thy word. We pray, Lord, in the midst of a dark day in which and generation in which we live, that we would never lose sight of Jesus. We pray, Lord, even amidst the trials, we might have our gaze and our focus fixed on Him, one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. O God, we pray to that end that Thou might help us to see Christ this morning. Lord, shut us in with Thy word that is open before us. Bring us, as it were, to that place where Daniel stood. O God, I pray that Thou might fill us with the power of Thy Spirit. Thou would give us, Lord, words from Thyself, words that must and shall prevail. Give us those prevailing words. And we pray that we might rightly divide the word of truth. For we ask these things in our Savior's precious name. Throughout the word of God, there are occasions where we have the visions and we have the dreams. It is to be remembered, of course, that as the complete canon of Scripture wasn't finished, that God spake in times past by divers manners through the prophets. In other words, He was to use various means by which He would reveal Himself unto man. In those last days, these last days, He has spoken unto us by His Son. And we now have God's complete revelation. We now have the complete canon of Scripture, so there are no new revelations to be given or visions to be sought for. Everything that God would have to say to us, He has said in His Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. However, those visions and dreams that we have been speaking about, they stretch back in time to the patriarchs and how the Lord was to meet with Abraham, with Jacob, with Isaac. How you can think of Joseph, well known for his dreams, and how the Lord was to reveal Himself in coming days. But then, men and young people, this morning is to another well-known character that we find ourselves considering. That is Daniel. The opening words of this chapter remind us that when he was taken as a young man into Babylon, that the authorities sought to change his way of life and the life of his friends. Their heritage, everything about Daniel and his friends that had anything to do with God, they sought to change it. He, along with the others, was given a new name. But while that was the case, and while the prevailing circumstances around them were changed, that didn't mean that Daniel conformed to those changes. Indeed, he remained the same servant of the Lord. He didn't conform to the ways of Babylon. Dear people, therein is a valuable lesson for our hearts today. It's the easiest thing to go along with the crowd. It's the easiest thing to be conformed to this world and its ways. To accept what is acceptable today, even though it's against God's word, and we know that to be the case. You ought to have the spirit of Daniel and his friends, not to be conformed unto the spirit of Babylon today, but rather to be conformed on more and more unto the image of Christ. Happily, we can take encouragement from this man, Daniel. Bear in mind that he is now an old man. It is generally accepted that Daniel chapter 1 finds him as a young man, a teenager, we would say, a young person when he was taken then into captivity. But by the time we come to chapter 10 of this book, he's in the third year of Cyrus's reign, and most commentators believe he is now in the region of 90 years of age. He's an older man. But in all those years, he has kept the faith. And you know, God doesn't cast us off when we get old. For God still reveals himself unto this man Daniel. How do we find him here? We find him in a spirit of mourning. We find him being grieved over sin for a full 3 weeks. He lamented the indifference there was to be seen among his fellow Jews. For although they had opportunity to return to Jerusalem, many of them had the spirit of Babylon within them, so much so that they desired to stay. And they spurned the privileges that were then afforded to them. And adding to that, there were the hindrances against the work of God. And those things ought to grieve any believer. And they certainly were to do so with Daniel. The response of Daniel was that he sought the Lord by prayer and in fasting. And it was a waiting upon God that was to give him a rewarding view. I want you to, in particular, to look at the words of verse 4 and 5 this morning. In the 24th day of the first month, as I was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel, then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with the fine gold of Upaz. We must, first of all, consider something of his praying. Though the first two verses covered a period of 3 weeks, a period in which Daniel denied himself the meat and the pleasant things which would normally have been part of his diet, and he did so that his heart might be prepared and it might be devoted to seeking the Lord. Yet when you come to the words of verse 4, we're brought to see just one day in his life. Just one day, a day that nevertheless stands out. And as we take in this whole scene, we're brought to see something of Daniel at prayer. His praying, I put it to you, was focused. We have already stated that he just didn't spend a moment or two in seeking the Lord, but there was a preparation of heart. There was a denying of self. There was a time set aside because such was the need of the hour. The people were careless and indifferent. Back in Jerusalem, there were the enemy who were seeking to hinder the rebuilding of the temple itself, and that which we find in the book of Ezra. And there was every just cause to have a grieved spirit, but please note beyond those things that his praying was focused on the sacrifice that was been made. You might say, well, where do you see that? Well, the opening words of verse 4 indicate to us what month it was. In the 24th day of the first month. And that ought to be significant to us, because the first month was the month in which Israel came out of Egypt. And henceforth, the first month was the Passover month. It was that month in which Israel had the Passover feast. It was held on the 15th day of the first month. Daniel just didn't set aside the customary 7-day period for the Passover. But he had a prolonged time on either side of those 7 days. He couldn't be in Jerusalem for the Passover at this juncture, but his heart was there. His spirit was there. We know that 3 times a day he will be found opening the windows of his chamber toward Jerusalem and praying toward the temple. Why was that so? It was because his praying was focused. And it was focused on the place of sacrifice. That place where the lamb was slain. That place where the blood was shed. I believe we're brought to see something of his praying in Psalm 137. If you turn over to Psalm 137, positionally it has us here just where Daniel is to be found. Because you'll see it's by a river. By the rivers of Babylon there we sat down. Yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. They're in captivity. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they that carried us away captive required of us a song, and they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. That's where this psalm has you. It's just there in the place where Daniel's found, in that land of captivity, in the land of Babylon. But please notice the words of verse 5 and 6. If I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her coming. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. And his brain was focused on Jerusalem. His brain was focused on the very temple of Jerusalem. His brain is focused at this time of the Passover. He knew that he needed the blood of the Paschal Lamb just as much as those who did need it, who were able to be there in person. Is that the spirit minimum that we have when we come to pray? Lest we forget Gethsemane, lead me to Calvary. How can we forget God's Lamb that was slain, and God's Lamb that was offered for our salvation? Do we not need the cleansing of His precious blood? Let me ask you, is our praying not needed to be focused on Christ? Daniel's praying was focused. But furthermore, his praying was opposed. You see, whenever you set yourself in your heart to really pray, it will be opposed by the devil. And Daniel knew what it was to be opposed in prayer. He knew this to be his experience. Look at verse 13, just for a second. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 120 days. All the days of his waiting, all the days of seeking God, there was opposition, and he was withstood. He was thought to be hindered so that a strong crying would not reach the ears of God. Dear child of God, if you go aside to pray and to lift up your heart unto God, then you can be sure that your great adversary and the prince of this world will seek to hinder you and prevent you praying and seek to stop that time with God. And that but shows and it teaches each one of us the value there is in prayer, the powerful weapon that we have at our disposal. It reminds you that the devil hates to see the believer in prayer. And you set that time aside, the doorbell will ring, the phone will ring. There'll be something else that'll come into your mind, and there'll be that hindrance of you spending time with God. But also consider that when the devil does seek to hinder, that our great intercessor, the Lord Jesus Christ, takes up our cause, and as with Daniel, we are helped. For verse 13 speaks of how he was helped. Don't be surprised then that your praying time seems to be interrupted and it seems to be opposed by one way or another. It's the devil's way of seeking to prevent you from having the ear of God. But oh, child of God, take encouragement in the fact that there's one who's praying for us. John 17 verse 9 is really, truly the Lord's Prayer. Here's a sample, as it were, of Christ praying in glory this morning. I pray for them, for God's people. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Verse 15, I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from the evil. Christ is praying for us. Praying that we might be kept from the evil one. Daniel's praying was opposed. You'll see also the praying of Daniel was recorded as being heard. In verse 12. And said he unto me, fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard. and I am come for thy words. We have seen that there was the fasting with Daniel, verse 3, but for the godly Israelite, that meant nothing unless it was for the purpose of praying. And that's how it was for him. Because the words of verse 12 confirmed to us that he was at prayer and that his words were heard. Despite the opposition that abounded, despite the circumstances that prevailed, and even the business that was at hand for Daniel, here was a man who found much time for prayer. It was said by a silly missionary, we should not need to work so hard if we prayed more. For then the Lord to whom we pray would bring the work more easily to our hands. I think there's more than that. And as Daniel prayed, he did so with a Passover lamb in view. His praying was recorded as being heard. Devil will seek to distract and hinder. What encouragement it is to have the record of heaven of God this morning. I have heard thy words. I have heard thy voice. Take the promise to heart, child of God, that we find in Jeremiah and chapter 33 and verse 3. It simply says, call unto me and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. Has God heard your voice this morning? Before you come out to the house of the Lord to worship, has the Lord heard your voice? Has the Lord heard you, seeking that your heart might be prepared to receive the Word of God? May God's record be that He has heard our words concerning souls that are lost, concerning our school, concerning our service for God. May he hear our words. There's something else I want to show you here. Not only the praying, but the place. You see, it'd be the easiest thing for us just to leave verse 4 there. Right? We've seen how he's focused in his praying. It was the Passover month. And we'll now pass on into verse 5. And we'll forget about the closing words of verse 4. But in fact, those closing words of verse 4 are those that instruct us of the place that Daniel was to be found when his praying was to be answered, when he was to be rewarded in a most remarkable manner. It says that he was by the side of the great river which is Hiddekel. It will be a study in itself to think of the many times that we come across the rivers in the Bible at where prayer has been offered. That's just a little study. Here's one of them. But I want you to think of where exactly this place was. And we can do that because of the first mention of the river Hiddekel. It takes us right back to Genesis chapter 2. You come back there with me just for a moment or two. You see, where Daniel was to be found to be meditating and in prayer was in the former place of fellowship. Genesis chapter 2 verse 10, and the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and from thence it was parted and became into four heads. Now look at verse 14. And the name of the third river is Hiddekel. That is it which goeth toward the east of Assyria, and the fourth river is Euphrates. Here is a river that we're brought to consider right from the place of the Garden of Paradise. One of the rivers that flowed within the boundaries of that old paradise. The garden of perfection. The garden in which God placed Adam and Eve. Daniel was in the very vicinity where our first parents would have walked and been in that sweet communion and been in that sweet fellowship with the Lord God. It was the place where God met with Adam. Without sin in this world, there was no hindrance, there was no barrier to that fellowship. His fellowship meant that he was in agreement with God and with his designs. It meant that there was a mutual affection. It meant there was an enjoyment of God's presence for our first parents. And what thoughts must Daniel have had of that? As he walked, as he meditated, as he prayed in this very place by the river of Hiddekel. Yet, dear people, that is what we can enjoy in the place of prayer. It's fellowship with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And that is something that is vital as we traverse this scene of time, this side of eternity. We are fellows in the one ship. Our desires ought to be God's desires. Our delight is to have in His presence. Are you having such fellowship with the Lord, child of God? Are you one or is having fellowship with one another? If your fellowship's not right with God, it'll not be right with fellow believers. But for Daniel, he also must have realized that sin was to destroy that fellowship. And the place was also the place of the fall. He was walking in the area where that tree stood that was forbidden to be taken of. In the very area where the old serpent was to tempt Eve, and her first parents fell into sin and transgression as they disobeyed the word of the Lord. This was the place where Adam and Eve sought to hide themselves behind the trees of the garden. This is where sin entered into the world. And not far from where Daniel was, must have been where the cherubim were placed. And the flaming sword was to shut them out of that paradise. What a change sin had brought about. From being in close fellowship to being at distance from God, and the will of God, the will of man now, and being in direct opposition to the will of God. From paradise to Babylon. From holiness to corruption. I wonder, are we often found going back over the old ground when we pray? Of the pit from whence we were hewn by God's grace, and of thanking God for ever looking in mercy upon us and lifting us from that miry clay. That's something that the prophet speaks about in Isaiah 51 verse 1. He says, "Hearken to me, ye that follow after righteousness, ye that seek the Lord. Look unto the rock whence ye were hewn, and to the hole of the pit whence ye are digged." And I tell you something, dear child of God, when you remember where the Lord found you, you remember His mercy and His grace that reached down, it'll prevent that sin of pride getting a grip of these hearts of ours. We have nothing, nothing to be proud of. We're just all sinners saved by His matchless grace. Do you ever mourn over how sin has caused disharmony and it has caused destruction in your own life? The place where Daniel was the place of the fall. You know, where Daniel was found to be praying was also the place of favor. For not only would he have occasion to think of sin and lost fellowship with God, but he must also have thought of how that fellowship had been restored through the slain lamb. That lamb that was being offered at the Passover feast back in Jerusalem, back there in the garden in this very spot, was where God was to take that animal and was to shed its blood. Back there it was through that sacrifice that her first parents would be clothed and they would be brought nigh unto God. It was because of the sacrifice that they were not immediately condemned unto a lost eternity. But instead they were to hear of the promised seed. Genesis 3:15, God said, "And I will put enmity between thee as the serpent and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." There's the message of Christ. There's the first message of the coming of the promised Savior. For Daniel, there was hope through the sacrifice being offered. He could have communion with God through the blood. He could know pardon of sin. And how can we have communion with God again restored? How can we know pardon for our sin? It is only through the one who was the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15. promised seed of the woman was the Lord Jesus Christ who would come. And he would offer that once for all sacrifice for sin, and he would bruise Satan's head. How can we approach God? How can we pray? It's only on the grounds of the Savior's atoning blood and that once for all sacrifice for sin. And what favor of God that is for poor, hell-deserving sinners such as we, being in the place of intercession and prayer with God is a place of great favor. Is that where you are? Is that where you are, child of God? Place of favor with God this morning. Thank God if you can look back to a time when the Lord saved you. And he gave you a new name, and he gave you a new heart, and he put a new spirit within you. Dear soul, what I'm asking about this morning is not way back there. I'm asking about up to date. Your up to date walk with God. Is that where you are? Or this morning all that you can look back to is something in a past experience? Afar off? Are you walking with the Lord? Are you in that place of favor? Is praying the place? There's one final truth here in thought. There's the person. For Daniel, for those things that grieved him, those things that were weary and heavy on his mind, so much so that he spends much time before God, was it wasted time? Or was it rewarded? Well, I let the scriptures themselves answer that question for you as you find it in verse 5. Then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Upaz. The result of his 3 weeks fasting and praying was well worth it. For it is only after this, on the 24th day of the month, that he lifts up his eyes and he sees a person. By that river there was one walking toward him. Is it the old Adam of whom no doubt you have been thinking about? No, it was better than the first Adam. It was the last Adam. For what follows are verses which you can only speak to us of the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is Christ who is revealed to Daniel here. This was God's way of rewarding him. And when we see Christ revealed to us, then everything else, listen, is put in its proper place. The troubles are not the dominant thought, but the Lord is. It's one of those Christophanies. In other words, an Old Testament appearance of the Lord Jesus. For the person that appeared has a distinct apparel. It is that of the high priest with his linen garment. He is one whereby we read his loins were girded with fine gold. And wherever you come across loins being girded, that gives the thought of being in a state of readiness. And Christ was in a state of readiness, and he was in a state of diligence to do the will of the Father. What was that to do? It was to do the work of our redemption. His loins were girded. It is Christ that is revealed here. You'll see that it is Christ that is described here, for the words of verse 6 must speak of him. They have a resemblance to another vision in God's Word. This was the last vision given to Daniel. But in Revelation 1 we are given the first and the best vision given to John, who was on the Spirit on the Lord's Day in the Isle of Patmos. You would turn with me to Revelation chapter 1 and verse 13. You'll see how John saw the glorified and risen Savior. Daniel in our passage is given a vision of him before his incarnation. but how both descriptions are of his person. Revelation 1 verse 13, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, girt about the paps with a golden girdle. Didn't we read that? His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they were burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. Both descriptions are of his person. His face is as lightning. It's too glorious to be gazed upon steadily, as was true in the Mount of Transfiguration. His eyes are as lamps of fire that penetrate and see all things. His arms, his feet are of the color of brass. They tread this world and yet they're untainted by it. His voice is like the voice of a multitude. Oh, men and women, young person, consider how great Christ is. He is worthy of all preeminence. He is glorious in his person. Do you know him? The all-holy, the all-knowing, the all-present Savior. Do you know him? What we see in this appearance of Christ is how Daniel was rewarded. He was to see a vision of Christ because he had waited closely in the Lord in earnest prayer. Daniel, weighed down with a burden for his people, has given a sight of the Lord. What comfort this must have given to him. Dear believer, you will get fresh discoveries of Christ in his glory and grace that you've never heard or seen before when you set yourself to wait on him. And that's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs today. We need to see Christ. May be that such a view of the last Adam will humble you in the dust like it did with Daniel. His face is in the dust. But if that is so, it is for our good, because it will be that God will empty us of self so as to prepare us for future use. And don't miss it. This view of Christ was only given to Daniel. Were others with him that day? But they didn't see this vision because they fled in terror and fear. You know, if you don't get a view of Christ in his word, there's no one to blame but yourself. It is because you've hid yourself away from God. Child of God, to see Christ will make the path grow brighter. It will lift the heavy burdens which often weigh down heavy upon us in the work of the Lord, and it gives us that hope for the days that lie ahead. It did those things for Daniel. Listen, he had this rewarding view. He saw the Lord. And I'm preaching possibly to those who are not saved this morning. And this is just a head knowledge thing. You don't know the Lord as your Savior, and it is my prayer that you would see Christ this morning as never before, that you, dear loved one, might have the desire that the old Greeks had when they came to the disciples and they said, "Sir, we would see Jesus. We would see Jesus." May you see him today. May God anoint those eyes of yours with eyesight that you might see him today in all his beauty and in all his glory. Even this morning, that you will take him as your own and personal Savior. I tell you, that'll be a rewarding view. It'll be a day you'll never forget. May God make it such. The Lord bless his word to each of our hearts this morning for his own name's sake. Amen. 572 will sing in closing. A wonderful Savior is Jesus my Lord, a wonderful Savior to me, hideth my soul in the cleft of the rock, where rivers of pleasure I see. We'll sing verses 1 and 4. 1 and 4 of Standing to Sing 572. thank Thee, a wonderful Saviour is Jesus, my Lord. A wonderful Saviour is He. O God, we pray that we might see Christ more and more. Thou might reveal Thyself unto us. We might be in that place, Lord, where Thou can speak. Thou can show us things that we never saw before. Lord, we know that, Lord, when we see that, the burdens will be lifted. Lord, we pray that Thou might come and bless and encourage the hearts of Thy children to know, Lord, that there's one in the glory, our blessed Redeemer who's praying for us continually at the bar of God. Speak, Lord, to those who are not saved. O God, they know one theory about Christ. Lord, we pray that Thou may have that work done in the heart whereby they'll experience God's salvation through Christ. And I might save them even this morning. Part us with Thy favor. Give journey mercies. Bless us this afternoon and tonight again. For we ask these things in Jesus' name.